Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as you'll hear, as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Welcome to Christ in All Things. I am Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
I'm Pastor Jason Schockman.
We are here for part three of our series on Reflecting Christ with Reverend Dr. Nathan Metter. This particular episode is one of the follow-ups with the previous two episodes. We had leaders from St. Paul's reflect upon what was teaching. Today we're reflecting upon part three, which was Reflecting Christ, What Does Stewardship Mean? And we have a couple special guests with us here today. Pastor Schockman, why don't you introduce them?
I can do that. Listeners, you're listening, so you can't see this, but sitting directly across from me is our chairman of the Board of Elders, Mr. Matt Denauer, who has formerly been a congregational president and many other roles here at church, currently sings in the choir.
Squire of the choir.
The yes. Squire of the choir, you know, the jester of the choir. He's had many titles. We love him dearly, and we're glad you're here for this conversation.
Thank you.
And then to my immediate right is a young man that has joined the congregation recently in the last couple of years. I got a chance to be your pastor at your wedding. And preside as you and Delaney were married, Mr. Alec Heffern.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that, by the way.
That was my joy, man. And Alec,
and now Father Heffern.
And now, yes, yeah. Now Father Heffern, because there's a little girl crawling around your house.
That's right. She's doing amazing, following us all over the place, getting into stuff she shouldn't.
Yeah.
But she's a good girl.
Yeah. Good. And you're starting to dip your fingers or your toes into other roles here at church rather than just being here on Sunday morning. And your background is actually quite useful. And so thank you for using the gifts that God has given you here in service to the church. We do appreciate
it. By that, I assume you're not talking about his dancing ability. What background are we talking about?
So, Alec, you want to tell us what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm an accountant. I work at an electrical manufacturer, and I do basic accounting work there. I also have a major in finance, so I have a great deal of background in finance and auditing and tax and stuff like that. And I, along with a few others, Dale and Kim Straddle and Al Mueller, have been tasked with updating the endowment fund, and we're putting together an outline to actually present to the church leadership team. And we've been working on that for a good couple months now.
Excellent. And Matt, sort of besides your immediate role as the head elder,
and past
role as the president of the congregation, anything else that should be mentioned here for your bona fides, as it were?
I think that everybody that knows me knows pretty much everything about me, so.
Yeah, you don't tend to hold back.
I'm not a closed book.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Okay, so let's start with you then. Right. And you've listened to a couple of the previous episodes that we did, and now you just listened to episode three with Dr. Metter talking about what does stewardship mean. What sticks out to you?
So first off, I would say the time, talent, and treasures. That when I first started at St. Paul's, that's what stewardship meant.
Yeah.
You give your time, your talent, and your treasures.
Yep.
And if you have more of one, then you go with that one, right?
Yeah.
So when I started here, didn't have a lot of money, so I gave time.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just continued. I just continue to give time. But in listening to the most recent episode with Dr. Metter, I was struck by the fact that the time, talent, and treasures are just the means by which we are the stewards.
Okay.
So it's not that our time, talent, and treasures are our stewardship. It's how we go about being a steward by giving those things.
Yeah.
So that it kind of flipped my whole belief a little bit.
So it was the we are stewards.
Yes.
And those are the, so it's the identity, the idea that stewardship is our actual identity that really kind of went, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it's stewardship is not just writing your weekly check or signing up on the website, you know, for what your donation's going to be for the week or whatever. It's
or volunteering to be a part of this or that or the other thing.
Right. It's all of that in order to get the word of God out.
Yeah.
So okay. that was a new concept to me.
Yeah. Okay. I see, Alec, you're nodding your head over here. What stuck out to you?
So what stuck out to me was when Dr. Nathan Metter actually talked about our stewardship being like sanctification.
Yeah.
And that actually stuck out to me because I'd never thought of it like that way. And stop me if I say anything heretical.
Sure, but we will.
I guess sanctification, I guess when I think of the definition, is our act of moving closer to God after we've converted or become Christians.
Or simply just living the Christian life. Yeah.
So I guess I'd never thought of stewardship being like that, but it makes a lot of sense. It's just us moving closer to God and trying to spread the gospel, give our time and funds to help other people come to God or come to Christ.
Yep. You're also looking back at me, Matt. What else is on your list?
Just the reminder that we're not in control.
Oh.
Yeah. Of our time, talents, and treasures, the Holy Spirit is. So it's not really ours to give. Everything that we have belongs to God anyways. Mm-hmm. It's just that we're giving it back to Him in a way that should be holy.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not your stuff.
Right.
It's all God's stuff.
It's all God's. Mm-hmm. We're just here playing our part.
We're just managers.
Yeah. It's not your storage closet in the church. It's not your key to the building. It's not your board of elders. It's not your ladies' aid. It's not your LWML. It's not your Lord's cupboard. It's God's.
Right.
And we all play our parts.
It's not your pulpit.
It's not my pulpit, which is part of the reason I put the quote from the gospel in there on the little light on the pulpit where it says Jesus only.
Yeah. 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 It's not like in the same way, right? It's not our chancel.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our table. It's the Lord's table from which He nourishes us and strengthens us in faith toward Him. And we pray this, right, regularly after the Lord's Supper, that it would strengthen us in faith toward Him and in fervent love toward one another.
And that, you know, I'm just listening to you guys, and I went, Alec, what else, before I get too far afield in my own kind of personal reflections, what else stuck out to you?
I'd say that was the main thing that stuck out to me.
And the main thing being that God owns everything, and we are literally managers of all of it, whatever it may be.
Yes. Okay. Even in our own familial lives, our personal lives. I guess another thing that stuck out to me is the fact that I like that if we are good with small things, then God will give us more purpose and task us with managing even greater and larger things. And I think I've even seen that in my own life. You know, you start out young, you start out, obviously everybody starts out young, but as you grow and you become a better manager of skills, better manager.
For sure.
Yeah. Of your own things, you become greater and greater and become a greater, I guess, a better steward of God's things.
The Lord has a way of doing that. And so Jesus wasn't just using a happy example mm-hmm. in the parable, you know, those who have been faithful in little will be entrusted with, mm-hmm. you know, with much. Yeah.
I'm going to jump in and say, being a faithful steward of the little things is a reflection to others of Christ. And so as you are faithful in the little things, as you say, you find greater things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that if you're really good at managing $5, God's going to give you $500.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't necessarily mean that if you're really good at managing your own emotions in the midst of tense and conflicting situations, that God is going to give you then not tense and conflicting situations. In fact, you might find yourself in even more of those situations as you learn to manage better. And so the greater things, right, that you mentioned, mm-hmm. Alec, they aren't necessarily greater by our estimation,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, God is always, always working for our good by his standards, not necessarily by our standards.
And notice how Pastor Shachman got serious by going into NPR voice.
Look, we're recording at 6:30 at night. My voice has been used all day long. It just happens.
And that, by the way, is, you know, for what it's worth, Matt, because I want to ask you your question that next. One of the joys of working with you over the years is part of our, you do well to laugh at things.
It is your natural response.
Say it's not so.
But you know, and you talk about stewardship of our life together, or stewardship of the Board of Elders, or stewardship of the congregation we are president, or, you know, or stewardship of the choir is, you know, you do bring the gift of helping us see the lighter side of things. And
I just enjoy a good laugh. That's all that's about.
Right. Yeah.
But that's a gift that God has given you in who you are as his baptized child. And when you are yourself, genuinely, you have this effect on the people around you because you're not trying to be something you're not. And there's a time and a place for us to repent of who in our sinful flesh we naturally are and turn away from those things. And that's good stewardship too. But then to use the things that God has given us that do build one another up, that do encourage one another all the more in love and good works as we see the day approaching, and seeing that laughter is good medicine.
I'm insecure about something, so I'm going to make myself laugh about it.
Right. But
and let's all be insecure together.
And I do that all the time.
I know. Me
and,
too.
And we love it. But that opens the door for people around you to be comfortable in their insecurity because they can laugh at themselves too. Right. You try to play that off like it's it's just kind of me laughing at them, but it's not. That is a sanctified gift that God uses.
Sometimes over-sanctified.
Well, yeah.
I can't think of any examples of that.
So what's next on your list?
Yeah, we should move on.
Yeah.
Well, a couple things.
Yeah.
One of the other things that struck me was that stewardship, how we look at it in reverse of how we should look at it. Like we're trying to bring people in, but it really starts at, instead of bringing people into the altar, our stewardship needs to start at the altar and go out.
Oh, yeah.
I had never looked at it that way either. So, you know, kind of like evangelizing
and by that, you mean at the divine service, at the Lord's Supper.
Right.
That's stewardship begins by receiving.
Right.
And then Christ's forgiveness and holiness in the supper.
Right. And then going out and giving it.
Yep.
Interesting. I was just having a conversation this last Saturday with a college student. And we started talking about evangelism and the divine service and whether or not those two things are the same. And I said, no, it's the beginning of evangelism. It's the center of where it all starts. Just like the altar is where stewardship starts, right? As we come, and more so as God comes to us and forgives us and fills us and then sends us out. Right? Evangelism works the same way.
One of the other things that stuck out to me, and this was, I believe, from the Reverend Doctor directed towards the leadership, is that as we are stewards, we also need to remember that as leaders in the congregation, we're responsible to the congregation for how St. Paul's does stewardship. So as I believe, as he put it, to not go out and spend it like a drunken sailor.
He did say that.
Yeah. And I took offense to that, having been a drunken sailor in my life. But that's okay.
Yeah. He was speaking the truth in love.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that, and not only are we accountable to our Christian family here at St. Paul's, we're mm-hmm. also accountable to God mm-hmm. for how we act with the resources that we've been given.
Yep. For sure. What else for you, Alec?
Just to jump off of Matt's point, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And I would say that's something I'm extremely interested in, and hopefully I would love to be a part of the endowment fund committee when it's created, but to grow the investments of the church, to try to grow it so that the individuals at the church can use that money to spread the gospel greater and further, not just through making the church nicer or growing the size of the church, but through outreach, through programs, and through spreading the word of the gospel so that others may hear it.
Yeah. And that really, from the guy that is the pastor that kind of coordinates our outreach stuff, really begins with each and every individual in the congregation understanding that there isn't a committee to do the job of evangelism. Mm-hmm. It is every individual member's responsibility as a steward of what God has given them to steward the gospel in their lives, which means speaking God's word and inviting people to come and see.
Means first receiving it.
Yeah. Well, you got first, like we said, it starts at the altar. You got to be here. And as you receive that forgiveness, then in your life, you actually share Christ's forgiveness and then invite other people to come and see, to come and believe this gift that is given to us. So there's not a board of evangelism that does the work of evangelism for the church. Every member is a steward of the gospel.
Yeah, if we're doing this right, we're not bureaucratizing.
Right.
Evangelism.
Right.
And nor are we bureaucratizing stewardship.
Correct.
that's the church leadership's team, you know, job.
Before you guys got here, we actually had a board of stewardship. And yeah. I sat on that for a while. And it was,
which was very common.
Yeah.
Right.
And still in many places.
And, yeah, I was gonna say, and still is.
But very different in what we were talking about at that time versus what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
You know, the stewardship at that time was all directed towards money. You know, mm-hmm. what are we doing with the money? How do we get more money? And you actually started preaching this. That's what brought me back to St. Paul's after a short respite away.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not about the money. It's about how we live our lives in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how we reflect God's way in the things that we do, how we live our lives in the community. And
and to be sure, God wants your money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's actually
his money.
Right. Yeah. You know, and God, yeah, I mean, God wants your money because he wants your soul.
And don't disconnect those two things.
Yeah.
So when we're in Lutheran basics and we get to talking about the commandments and we get to the first commandment, you know, the one that says, you shall have no other God. We talk about at length the regular habit of Christian giving,
mm-hmm.
that act of financial stewardship, because let's face it, we live in a uber materialistic society, and it is super easy to let mammon, money, or things or the house or the car or the hobby become your God, become the thing you look to for all that is good. So how do we live our life in a direction that looks to God for all that is good? And part of that, I think in America anyway, I don't know because I haven't really lived in other countries. I think a big part of that is that regular habit of Christian giving that's systematic and it's personal and it's first fruits and it's percentage based so that we are making a sacrifice.
So when you say, I mean, and I'm interrupting you because you used a word here that for our listeners that may not, because what, you know, you said it's
systematic,
which means
it's a regular thing. And you right. have a planned program of how to do it.
How you're going to give. Yep. You said next it is
personal.
By which you mean?
Every individual is equipped to give.
Yep.
Even if it's a widow's mite, even if it's a penny. And get this, even kids can do it.
Yep.
That was another thing that Pat, the Reverend Doctor hit on was.
You can just call him Dr. Metter.
Yeah.
I don't want to make him upset.
Oh, it takes more
miss
than
a title.
I think it might take more than that.
Is that no matter how little you have, it's important to give something.
Yep.
Yeah.
To put a skin in the
game.
Yeah,
we talked about mm-hmm. that in relationship to a question from a college student.
Right.
Right. Yep.
That, you know, don't take out a loan to give to the church.
Right.
But if you got a couple bucks in your pocket, it's important that you give something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Instead of going out for Starbucks after church.
Right.
You know, put that $5 bill on the plate and call it a sacrifice. And it is.
So going back to your taxonomy, it's
systematic.
It's personal.
Yep.
And you said that next it's
first fruits.
So that's where I wanted, because we use that word, but you probably should explain what that means.
So it means functionally, it just means it comes off the top. The first thing that I do is set aside a sum that I've decided willingly, consciously, and in a pre-planned way to return to the Lord because of all that he's done for me, right? Psalm 103 is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then immediately goes to talk about the forgiveness of our sins and the covering of our iniquities as the primary thing that he does. But all his benefits includes everything that he provides us to support this body and life.
So if a first fruits is a simple agricultural reference is when you bring in the harvest, the best that comes in first, that's your thanks to God.
Yep. And so financially, we would say before you put anything else on the budget, before you write any other numbers down in the monthly or in the yearly financial plan or the monthly budget, write down your offering. Write down what you're returning to the Lord because what he's given you. So it's not a left.
Because it's not really.
Yours.
Yours.
It's his. So it's not a leftover.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way most of us give.
Right.
So even if you're going to, so if you're a college student and even if you really have nothing.
Yeah.
And a negative net worth.
Yeah.
But you have a couple bucks in your pocket.
Yep.
And you're coming. That's where you start.
Yep.
And because that what you're saying is, Lord, I recognize all I have is from you, and I trust you.
So here, take this,
and don't be ashamed about it.
Mm-hmm. And don't be ashamed about it.
Feel good that you're
right.
You're participating. You're giving something.
Yep.
The last one is percentage.
Okay.
The verse. Hang on, real quick. The
systematic,
verse is,
personal, first fruits, and. Yep.
Percentage.
And a percentage.
So the verse is 1 Corinthians 16:2.
Okay.
Right. So
which is?
If we look that up. It's so on the first day of the week, each one of you should set aside a sum as he may prosper.
Mm-hmm.
Systematic, each one of you.
Mm-hmm.
Or systematic on the first day of the week. That is when you get your income check.
Yep.
Each one of you, personal, set aside a sum. That's first fruits. You're doing this first before you pay any other bills.
Yep.
As he may prosper, that is in proportion to your income or as a percentage based. So pick a percent. Doesn't have to be 10%. We're freed from the law of the tithe, but it doesn't mean it's bad advice.
And this is, didn't Dr. Metter talk about
tithing?
The guy in his congregation in this episode?
Yeah.
He did.
This is the guy who said, you know, who Dr. Metter challenged him to give, and then said, you know, next week give a little bit more and stop. When
when you notice it, when you notice that it's a gift, when you recognize that you have to make a sacrifice to do this, hold right there until you don't notice it anymore.
Until it's too much of a sacrifice.
No. Until it's not a sacrifice at all. Until you don't notice it.
And
then
how,
turn it up.
And this guy started at some amount. And how long did he go?
18 years.
8 months.
18 months. That's 18 months. He changed it every month. That's right.
18 months, but he kept going. Yeah. He never stopped, right. Which I thought was admirable.
Yeah. So the challenge that I give folks in Lutheran Basics is when you pick your percentage, whatever it is, pick a percent and give that percent for some amount of time. Maybe it's a month. Maybe it's a year. Maybe it's a week. Give that percent and do it joyfully until you don't notice in your financial management that you're giving. When you don't notice that you're giving, that's the time to turn it up a notch. So crank it up a percent. And maybe it's just 1%. And then,
or a half percent.
Or a half percent, whatever it is, right?
Or four.
Or four or 10. Mm-hmm. You know, and then when you get to the point that you don't notice in your budgeting, in your managing of the funds that God entrusts you with, when you don't notice that you're returning to the Lord something, that's the time to crank it up a notch. Until it's a sacrifice. Because it's supposed to be a sacrifice. It's supposed to be a humbling of ourselves in order to say to ourselves, God, I trust you in all that you give me to support this body.
If I may, this is where, because a lot of us have switched to online giving. And which means a lot of us aren't paying as close attention to this as maybe we did when we were writing the weekly check. And that's a disadvantage. And one of the things that because Dr. Metter also said in this episode, if I remember rightly, that he really encourages an annual giving commitment. We haven't done mm-hmm. that at St. Paul's in a long time. And, I think especially with online giving, we probably need to return to that.
I think the last time we did it was at our 150th celebration.
10 years ago.
Yeah. With our capital giving campaign. That was the last time we filled out cards.
Yeah.
So maybe it is time.
It probably is. And should probably be an annual thing, and we got to figure out how to do that. I mean, part of you know, my reaction is over the years is things were going, we were progressing along and going along fine, but you really, like with Dr. Metter described, I think, in the very first episode of this series, what led him to do this at his then congregation at St. John's in Plymouth, Wisconsin, was he realized he hadn't taught this and he should have been, and he was brought to a position of repentance on this. And I looked at this the same way as a senior pastor. You know, we had been moving along fine, but, you know, when we encountered a bump in the road, and I more than a bump in the road, not too terribly long ago, I realized, you know, Pastor O'Donnell, you haven't really been teaching this stuff.
Well, let's be honest about it. It's not something that people want to hear when they come to church. We need more money. Mm-hmm. I mean, it shuts people down. You know, when week after week we're talking about, You need to give.
And that's, by your own admission, why you took a little respite.
More importantly, it's why I came back. Yeah, I mean,
there's more involved there. But you had intoned that it was weekly, all about the money, and he didn't preach that way.
Right.
And so you had kind of drifted because it was just all about the money.
In small part, yeah.
And he didn't, I mean, I know there's other things involved there. But he didn't preach that way, and I think we can all do a better job of acknowledging it. This stuff isn't ours, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I'm in the midst of trying to figure out how to replace the vehicle that the big buck took out, right? Thank you for the insurance company that helps make that possible. But I got to remember, in the midst of all of this, that's not my wife's minivan that got totaled. It's the minivan God entrusted to our family to take care of.
And now it's toast.
So now we get to find.
Did you get any of the deer?
No.
Yeah.
So now we couldn't find it. So now we get to find, by God's grace, another vehicle that our family can use and steward and hopefully use to not only enrich our family, but bear witness to those around us of the gifts that God gives.
On that note, Alec, as you know, you and Delaney and you're what, 23, 24?
Yeah, I'm 25 and she's 23.
Okay. So young family, mm-hmm. you know, new little girl at home. Without asking you to get too personal, how has listening to this stuff and reflecting on it, how has it have you thinking about your own practice in your family?
I would say it makes me think I need to continue to increase the amount of donations that I really should be giving to the church. I mean, of course, I want to continue to grow the amount of funds we have and investments we have. As, you know, we're a young family, we want a house. I want to continue to have children and, you know, make sure that they have a good life and make sure my wife has a good life. But know that when I die, I'm not going to take my house with me.
Right.
I'm not going to take my car with me or my money or any of that stuff, but I will be with God.
Yeah. Giving, I mean, think about giving for those of you listening, challenging yourself in giving is like challenging yourself in all kinds of other different things in the life of faith.
It's hard.
You know, I mean, but it's good to give yourself mm-hmm. that challenge. Like I want to be wiser. Well, then you should come to Bible study mm-hmm. and be part of I want to be wiser as a Christian. Well, then don't just come to church, which is, you know, where I would start. If you want to be wiser as a Christian, I would come to church weekly. If I want to be wiser as a husband, a father, a mother, whatever, then I want to be in Bible study as reflecting on deep. If you want to be a runner, you know, a better runner, then right, you got to stretch yourself. And so being, you know, part of the challenge is to exercise your faith, right? Is God puts that, you know, let stretch a bit and you know, what's the passage, right? I think it's in Micah, you know, test me.
Oh,
Lord,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
test me, the Lord says.
Test me in this and see that I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven.
You know, so, and that's yeah. part of this here is, you know, because we're talking, and you're listening and we're talking about giving and it probably may sound like, well, we just want more money in the church so we can have more money and be bigger and have a soaring 900-foot Jesus or something of the sort. but that's not what we're talking about here.
You say that, and that brings me to the last thing that I had written down. Sure. And it was the Reverend Doctor's statement that stewardship is not to pay the bills or obtain the things that we need for the church. It's to be the located outpost where the gospel can be heard.
Yep. Yeah. If stewardship is about paying the light bill or paying the insurance or paying the salary of the staff, then really it's just about buying stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm. Transactional, yeah. I believe, is the term that came up.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's not stewardship. That's just buying stuff.
At least not more fully understood.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd like to think that the last 10 years we've done stewardship well here at St. Paul's.
I'm glad you think so, because I feel like I've totally failed, and that's why we're doing this.
And you're forgiven.
I mean, you made the comment that we've had a little hiccup lately.
Yeah.
And that's true, but
even as things are going well in the congregation all over the board,
right.
Yeah.
In every other category,
you know, but leading up to that hiccup, we've done a lot of good things.
Yeah. The Lord has done a lot of good here.
And I think we've been good stewards along the way. We got away from the thought process. Well, we'll build it and he'll provide, you know, where we started.
Yeah. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a Field of Dreams approach.
Thank heavens.
Yeah.
So, and I think...
Alec, do you know what the Field of Dreams approach is? You know, that's a movie. Yeah, that's before your time.
If you build it, they will come. Made, like, well before my time. Like,
yeah, well before your birth, probably.
Well, that's because, Alec...
But it's a classic.
We're a lot older than you. And I'm the youngest one at this.
It's a disadvantage.
And I'm the second youngest at this table.
Thanks.
You're not ahead of me by much.
Couple of years.
Shocked. second youngest. Like, nerds are us.
Amen. When it's true, it's true. You just got to wear it. You
use the math to your advantage.
I'm the penultimate youngest.
So
now the nerdy way to say it.
Anyway, sorry, Matt.
I think when we're looking at our own stewardship, it's important to remember that it's not about us.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him. And to take it a step further, it's not only about him, but it's the welfare of our family here at St. Paul's or whatever mm-hmm. church you do belong to.
Yeah.
You know, that stewardship is about us as a collective, but mostly about him.
Christ
in all things.
In all things. Thanks for joining us at Christ in All Things. For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit christinallthings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@christinallthings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift,
but it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help make the show self-supporting and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at christinallthings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a righteous,
environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straw
for the useful but perhaps pretentious beverage container that so many of us like to use.
A donation of $200 or more will get you some cheerful on-air clapping and a pair of excellent Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping and an elegant Christ in All Things leather folio handmade by the artisans of the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, fly us wherever you want and we'll record Christ in All Things with you at your chosen location, within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or call us at 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.